Benohambra kapana sasa. Si benahambre kopana hambra kapata. Zaniambre kopada hatari. Acts chapter 11. If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say wait for us. Acts chapter 11.
You are my heart desire. You are my obsession. You are my obsession. You are my desire. You are my obsession. You are my obsession. You are my desire. You are my obsession. You are.
In Jesus' name. Verse 19. The Bible said, now and they which are scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one among them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great debt throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Amen. Now, if you look at this scripture, one of the things you will notice is that it's more historical than revelatory. The Bible is trying to lay a foundation for something that is about to come. It is actually when you get to chapter 13 that you will find out the reason why the Bible painstakingly lay down the facts behind the move of God that was about to come. A season has come when God is raising up certain churches and structures, because when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, the thought of them that were the immediate participants of those moves is that they thought that all the move of God is for the Jews only, even though the instruction of Jesus was that you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. But such was the culture and tradition of an average Jew that even the instruction of Jesus and the avalanche of the Spirit was not enough to sever them from the connection that they had with their immediate brethren, that is after the flesh. It took persecution. That was why. Are you with me? That was why in this chapter 11, the Bible says that there is an aftermath. Something happened as a result of the persecution that came because they killed Stephen. When Stephen died, something began to happen in the body of Christ. Meanwhile, men that were not aware of the instruction that Jesus gave before the Holy Ghost came will not understand the fundamental place of that kind of persecution. They won't know that even though it seems as if we are suffering, things are becoming bad for the body. There is a bigger plan that God had in place, because the scripture says that all things work together for the good of them that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. When we mean all things, we mean all things, even persecutions. So in those days, it became obvious that even the mandate that was handed to these people, that they are trying to measure the impact of the Spirit, because the chapter before this was chapter 10, and it was there that Peter was at Joppa. Is it Joppa? Help me. Where is the city that Peter was? And a cheat was downloaded from heaven, and they told him, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, it's Joppa, right? So he was at Joppa, and a cheat was laid down from heaven, and a voice that came from that said, eat, Peter, kill and eat. And what he saw was all manner of four-footed beasts. They didn't know that we have reached a junction in the move of God where a new chapter, a new phase is about to be opened. It so happened that even though some of them knew by prophet and by revelation, many of them have been preparing for years. They even heard the utterance of in those days that the Holy Ghost came, but they didn't know how it's going to come. They didn't know the ways of God, that the ways of God is past finding out. It was when it was manifesting that the way it manifested was higher persecution. So even Peter, as much as he heard what Jesus said, and he's the chiefest of the apostles, the revelation that Peter kill and eat, he said, I have never eaten anything that is unclean since I was born. Now, this is somebody that if you want to rate him by the culture of the Jews, he doesn't measure up. When men begin to stand according to the ratings of the culture, the Torah, the prophets, it is only men like Paul that can stand. But Peter reached a point in God, suddenly he felt he's better than certain people upon the face of the earth, simply because he came from the stock of the Jews. And from that moment, he began to sustain a hard posture such that it will hinder the move of God. So something have to happen. Meanwhile, I need to tell you that everything that was happening at this period was an orchestration of heaven. So meanwhile, if you didn't travel, you will begin to describe the challenges that the church is facing as a battle. But when you travel to heaven, they will tell you that this is part of our plans to expand the frontiers of the kingdom. So when Peter, the thing came, Peter said, I have never eaten anything that is unclean. And the Lord told him, anything I create, I made, never say that is unclean. Because when the sheet came down, he said, not, they told him to eat. He said, not so, Lord. Say after me, not so, Lord. I didn't hear you. Say after me, not so, Lord. The seasons when God wants to open new borders, new frontiers of ministry, one of the things you will find out is that the way God has used you before will be the limitation for the next move of God in your life. Yes. Sometimes God can even use you in the teaching ministry, and then you get an invitation to come and stand on the crusade field. You say that all I know is to teach. Are you the one that sent yourself? The day you began to teach, who empowered you? Who told you that the same thing that watered a room cannot water a city? Because when you we are going to come, because when you get to chapter 13, the Bible gave a description, the portfolio of the men that gathered in that Antioch church. The Bible said that certain teachers and prophets, these men were not given to the apostolic and evangelistic ministry. They are mentioned. But the season came after them for 1 year. They cooked themselves, and the Holy Ghost was looking for another functionaries to send to the city. Where else will he go except for the people that he has been cooking for 1 year? God is not careless. He knows the people he has hidden many places, and the season when he wants to send men forth, he will go and pick them. And when new grace and new mandates come, it will release you into new functions that you never knew that you can do. Many of us started as church teachers, taught for long. Then when you begin to yourself to the Holy Ghost, to prayer, to gathering, believers gathering, and a season will come,
God will begin to look for functionaries to send forth to places. Places where he needed trusted hands. Places where he needed men that has been groomed in the spirit and their soul has been cultured such that Babylon cannot collect them back. He has to go back to Antioch. That's where he has men. It is my sincere desire that God will come in this place like he came to Antioch, and then he will find men, certain of them teachers and prophets that has been cooking for 1 year. And the utterance of God will be, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. Today, descending anointing, descending grace. Don't worry. Descending anointing and grace will come. It is not in vain that God is cooking you. Do you know what the scripture spoke about the training that was given to the apostles? The Bible said he called them so that they will be with him. So that after some seasons, he will do what? He will send them forth. Many years ago, I used to pray and tell God, we need revival, we need something to happen. Send people. When I was saying send people, I didn't know that what God was looking for was us. But because I looked around, I said, well, the way I'm looking at this thing, it's not possible that God will use people like me. At least not the way, let's be doing the small one we are doing. No, the answer of God to that kind of question is that he will keep you at the query site. You don't know. It is only when you appear, you will find out that there is an insufficient trained man in this generation. So that anyone that God finds, he will put his hand strong upon them. Oh, I have a body. My desire is that the trainings and the teachings will not be a waste. That you will live here empowered and equipped to go and bust forth. See, one, you will be like an atomic bomb, a nuclear reaction. You know what is a nuclear reaction? Yes, it's like a domino. A nuclear reaction has a domino effect. So that all you need to do, sometimes you come and land in one place, boom, the effect will be ripple. It will hit one, and that one will hit another, and another will hit another. They won't know it's coming from you. Something will happen here. A boy state will not recover. At least I don't know of many people, but I'm aware that there is a cooking that has been going on here for at least 2 to 3 years. The season have come when maturity have started entering the heart of the people that are being cooked, and God wants to release men to a new layer of grace so that they will test the things that they have learned. What have you learned? It's time to test, because you wouldn't even know how much you have approximated your maturity and God's expectation in your life, except you step out, and then you will know. You will have an accurate appraisal of yourself. You are my obsessor. You are my desire. You are my obsessor. You are. So Peter came in the book of Acts chapter 10. And the Lord was telling him to prepare, because when the scripture was speaking about the fact that a sheet was laid down from heaven, and the content of the sheet was all manner of four-footed beasts, many of them are not clean. It was a representation of the gospel that is about to be opened up to the Gentiles. That means that we have reached another phase in the move of God, where a chapter will be opened for us. And when he opens, God is not going to look for new people. It's the people he has been using. He will just increase their grace and send them forth for higher assignments. So when the mandate came to Peter, because of he has gotten comfortable with being a king. As of then, Peter was a king in Jerusalem. So he got comfortable. He got comfortable with gathering 50 people. Anytime he calls, they gather. Meanwhile, there is a generation that has never heard the gospel. And even them too, Jesus died for them. In case you think about the evangelistic dimension, the model that God brought in the propagation of the gospel is that an accurate evangelists have to add an apostolic dimension to his calling. This is what he means. He means that when Paul arrives in a city,
Before you know it, maybe in 3 weeks he has won souls. But even though Paul won souls in those cities, Paul will not leave. Sometimes he will tarry in a city for 2 years. Meanwhile, he won souls. The Bible will say that for the space of 2 years, he stayed in the place, one Tyrannus, the school of one Tyrannus, and he was disputing the scriptures with them. After 2 years, the whole city became subject to the government of God. Meanwhile, it was evangelistic dimension. So this kind of apostolic evangelistic is such that when men are born, they are disciples. So you don't just win soul and say, just like those days, they say, we have 1,000 decisions for Christ. Then after 1 year, we don't know where those guys are. No, this kind will be the one, when we win them, we disciple them. By the time he is leaving, Paul is leaving, he has ordained elders in every city. So when he sends his son, Timothy, he said, go and check those elders. He will send Titus. He said, go and send all those elders. He said, when you appear there, don't allow any man to despise your youth. Actually, the mandate that came upon Paul was the one God was trying to hand over to Peter. So that revelation, if it was true that Peter understood what God was trying to do, it was a window that was about to be opened to the Gentiles. But Peter said, not so, Lord. And as soon as he said, not so, Lord, the possibility was taken away from him. As of from that time onwards, the ministry of Peter was measured. That was why immediately in chapter 11, the Bible said that because of persecution, follow me, the men that arrived at Antioch, they didn't arrive because, some of them arrived because of persecution. There are those that arrived because they have mandates. Many people will say there is coronavirus, things are happening, you know, let's move around, let's travel. But there are men that arrived, they moved not because of corona. They moved because there is a mandate, there is a call in this territory. And the call have to drag them. There are many people moving, you know, and they say it's corona because there is persecution, things, we don't know what is happening. But even though those people are moving because of persecution, there are they that came from the Jerusalem church. Some of them Barnabas, some of them Agabus, prophets and teachers. They were migrating to Antioch and they had a mandate. Their mandate is to establish another church such that it will have the capacity to send missionaries and functionaries that will represent the next move of God. The church need to increase in rank and stature, and men have to be borrowed from Jerusalem, the mother church. Men that have seen how you can raise such platforms, and they came to Antioch. Men like Barnabas. So even though others were coming because of persecution, the scripture said that they were scattered abroad, and certain of them came to Antioch. Men like Barnabas cannot come because of persecution. They came because God sent them. Men like Agabus doesn't move because of persecution. They have counted their life for nothing. So even if they say that we die in the war front, they say it's good. You see, let me tell you, people don't die because there is warfare and people are dying. If you are in their alignment with your purpose and you stay under the shadow of his wing, you don't die. Even if there is bomb here, you don't die. We don't die because Satan wants us to die. If it was because Satan wants me to die, I would have died since. Last year, before we had Sonship Conference, for 30 days in 2019, death was sitting at my door. I will leave and I know that death is moving with me. And any time a season has come and God is about to release me into a new season, heavy powers may come to withstand me. That's why I pray. Sometimes I pray not because they say pray. I pray because that's the only way I can stay safe. My consecration began to increase because the power men have on the day that the principalities and powers came to check them is their consecration. Because Jesus said that the prince of this world came, but he found nothing. That means that what saved Jesus on that day was not his anointing, it was his consecration. So those days, my life began to get, God brought me into a narrow path. There are many things I used to do before he stopped me from doing it.
Because these days, what will keep men is their consecration. Now, back to my point. When Satan wanted to do all those things, sometimes I would go for ministration. Somebody that just dropped me want to go back. They cast some assaulted 3 times. You were there. All kinds of things. I'm moving from one meeting to another. Sometimes we lay down on a hotel room and we'll be carried up in the spirit. People will think we are sleeping. We were not sleeping. For 6 hours, we are in heavenly places doing warfare. If it was for the plan of Satan, by the time our hosts will appear in the morning, they will see our corpse. But it's not given to Satan to kill him. Touch your neighbor. Say, it's not given to Satan. It's not given to Satan. Jesus was the one that said, I have the power to lay down my life and to pick it. Men like Paul came to make the same utterance, so that you cannot come and conclude that it was about Jesus. Even men like Paul made the utterance. They carried John at the Isle of Patmos. You know what he passed through, but he couldn't die until his days were fulfilled. I say, you are safe where God sent you to. It doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter where. The best Satan can do is to bring persecution. But I need to tell you that from this my scripture and explanation, that sometimes you need persecution for you to be brought where you are supposed to be. Because many of you, your pursuit of God has been measured. There are many people hearing my voice now. Many things that is happening in your life is to push you to the place where you make Jesus your one and only. And pursue him as if you will die. Because except Jesus responds to your cry, then you are incapacitated to run your destiny. The days are coming when Jesus will be our one and only goal. If it will take persecution to bring us to those places, then good. Then it's a good thing. Because the church would have stopped and the gospel wouldn't have gotten to the Gentiles. There are nations to cover. The earth have to feel the impact of the living waters. Because until the glory of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, until the gospel of the kingdom is preached all over the earth, then Jesus won't come. You see, there are many things that is holding him up. Part of it is the mandate that is hanging on us. We are that generation. See, I made a vow with my life. There is no reason why I'm here. I call my people. I say, what do you think God will take from me? And then it will be the reason why I will give up. My life is offered on the altar. When you begin to live that kind of life, there is no way God can use you. See, listen to me. When you live that kind of life, God cannot move in your vicinity and not include you. See, let me tell you, there is a kind of life you will live, and God is moving, and those men are not there. Just know it's a fake move, that God has not really come. When God comes, there are people you must see. Even if they are Jerusalem, God will import them from Jerusalem church to Antioch, because there is a new move, sir. And those new moves, there are functionaries. There are men that must participate. If you like, let them be in Brazil. It doesn't matter. It is when God wants to move, he will ferry them by his hand. In fact, sometimes they won't know why they are there until they are in the midst of the move. Then they will suddenly realize the hand of God. Because there are many things God will not explain to you, so that you will not add your own wisdom. It is when you now find yourself in the middle. Just as you surrendered and yielded to the Holy Ghost the first time, you begin to yield to him. And then you begin to march. Because when Barnabas appeared, his fundamental job was to take Paul and introduce him to the church. Because the chaos and the persecution that came was as a result of the fact that Stephen died. And you remember the story of Stephen. How many of you remember? When Stephen died, there was a young man on his feet was dropped, the clothes of the young man that stoned Stephen. That was the same young man. Before we got to chapter 11, the young man have encountered Jesus. And when Jesus appeared to him, he said, Lord, who art thou? Because what he saw was the sign of the shining face. Because when Stephen was about to die, he looked up and saw the great one sitting upon his seat. And he said, have mercy on them, for they don't know what they do. And then his face shined like the face of the angel. That is actually one of the signs of the Messiah. So when Paul saw it, he was shocked. So when he was going to Damascus and he saw the same thing shine, he remembered that he has seen it in somewhere. So he was able to relate it to the fact that there must be something supernatural and divine that was happening. And that was how God conscripted that mighty vessel. But he was still an outcast. He was still at Tarsus. He was wondering if it is possible that God will include him in this move. So we needed a man that has been with them for long, to bring him in, take him by hand, and introduce him to the church. That was what the scripture was saying in chapter 11. That Barnabas came and picked Saul, who is now Paul, by the hand, and brought him to the church that was at Antioch. And he was such a man of stature that when he brought him, nobody questioned him. Oh my God, I'm feeling my wings now. See, let me tell you. Don't be normal. Don't be normal. I'm feeling my wings now. Jesus. Sihambra kubaha satabahaka. Kambrede bene kumbrata sakambetalia. Sakambe kutaka bahatari. Lemento katabaha. Ha! Oh my God. I don't have time. But in the next, how many minutes do I have now? Is it up to 10? Let me use 10 so that I will clear out of the way so that the men will arrive. Have you read the book of Psalms? When the scripture said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors." And a question was asked, who is the man that is demanding that the gates be open? See, let me tell you, there are men, people like us, there are gates that answer to our names. So sometimes we appear at those gates, and those gates that answer to our names open. So a question was asked, that personality that came, and they asked him a question. They said, who is the one that is asking for these gates to open? And they checked his name. They said, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, the King of glory. And then porter's gates began to open. See, there are reasons that men will not enter except certain gates you are open to them. And I trust God that today the baptizer grace will be available in the house, so that as a result of that, grace will be open to men in the spirit. Kabakata Sakakaya Kakakakakua Sakakaya Kakua Patakande Dakatia Salia Takapia Pere Susabaya. My God.
Something is about to happen here. Listen to me.
Before the next 3 minutes, and I will drop this mic. I saw many things descending from heaven. Get ready. It takes encounter to change men. Imagine who Paul was. He was Saul until he encountered a light that shined from heaven. It was so strong that he was stronger than the sun, even in his own strength. Evangelists, I believe that there is a new layer of grace that God is releasing for us, especially for the work and burden that is coming from Southeast. I believe that something will happen here today that beyond places, territories will explode. Listen to me. The Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33, he said that the day came, and the Bible said that Moses, the man of God, stood to bless the children of Israel. And when he stood, the Bible said on that day that the heads and the elders of Israel stood in their ranks. And on that day that Moses ministered and stood among the ranks of the elders, the Bible said on that day that Moses was king in Jeshurun. Jeshurun is the nickname of Israel. It was then that we found out that Moses was the first king of Israel. But the kingly anointing, that dimension, was when we need to do something that has to do with territory. That there are certain things that is manipulating the outcome of men in a city, in a territory, that is beyond what they can do. The anointing can stop it. The challenge was coming as an utterance of the patriarchs. Men like Jacob, he said, because you slept with your father's wife. He said, Reuben, you slept with your father's wife. But when Moses came, he said, Reuben, live and not die. Let your people be many. The day Moses declared that, he stood amongst the elders. And on that day, the kingly anointing came upon him. Something will happen here. So we had a vision last year. And in that vision, what God opened up to us is that we saw something like a police checkpoint. And in that checkpoint, everywhere was locked down. Men were coming in their rank and in their file, and they were trying to gain access. And when you come, your particulars will be checked, and then you will enter. Guess what? Every man that is coming from our tribe was turned back. It doesn't matter whether you are qualified or not. It was a burden that I carried for 1 year. We have interceded and prayed, and I've gone to many places, and I found out that our people is not as bad as we thought. Something is happening. My desire today is that Moses will sit as a king, that Jesus will sit as a king, and even see through his servants, and then decree so that the utterance of the patriarchs can be changed. It's only a king that is sitting among the elders. We will receive a rank sufficient in the spirit to cut the tithes, the utterance, and the window can be opened to men. I appeared in that gate and they wanted to turn me down. I insisted. The only reason why I passed was that I had the opportunity. I said, it's either I pass or I die. It doesn't matter how our people is qualified in the political sector, they are not going to make it nationally. Not because of anything, but because there is something. Even in ministry, you know, there are certain layers of ministry. A place where you will enter, you won't see any single one that is coming from here. You see that we are not qualified. I have been able to interact with many. It's the same thing, if not better. What is happening? Something will happen. This territory will not recover. Are you not tired?